Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, July 22nd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to beautiful legal potland, Oregon. We made it to the weekend. So glad to have you here. We've got a great show for you today. It's going to be a fantastic show. Believe me, you'll never hear a better show than the show we're going to bring you today. I can assure you, I guarantee it. Believe me, I'm the only person who can bring this show to you. I'm the only one who can get it done. Believe me. I've been watching too much of that Republican National Convention. I don't know if you saw that last night, Donald Trump accepting the nomination and going on and on and on. So my mind's a little warped. I'm going to have to get myself back on track. We've got some great marijuana news for you today coming up on the show. In the Cannabis Focus, we're going to take a look at the aforementioned Republican presidential nominee and his call for building a huge wall. It'll be huge, and Mexico's going to pay for it. Going to build a great border wall, he says, that's going to keep out the immigrants and the drugs. I don't know about the immigrants part. I doubt he can do that, but I know for sure he can't keep the drugs out. We're going to talk about that in the Cannabis Focus. Following that, we'll get into some drug war data mining where, bless my heart, this is the best possible gift I could have gotten going into the weekend. The first ever public opinion poll to show plurality support for marijuana legalization among Republicans. That's right, even Republicans now are coming around to marijuana legalization. We'll take a look deep into those numbers in the drug war data mines. Also coming up on the show today, we've got time for a stupid prohibition story. Remember me telling you about Steinborn's law? Only break one law at a time? Well, here's a perfect example of that coming up in drug war data mining. We'll also get into our activist agenda. We've got a quick update to bring you on the NFL and medical cannabis, a new announcement from the NFL today that could be good news for the medical use of cannabis by the players. And then in the radical rant, we'll take a look at the diminishing returns of marijuana legalization, my theory on how legalization isn't going to get better and better as it goes on. Before we get to all that, though, we got to start with the cannabis radio news. In the headlines today, we're going to start off in Italy, which may become the next country to legalize marijuana. We got a crazy story coming out of a small town in Colorado about their tap water that you'll know is ridiculous when you hear it. In Illinois, a great bit of a judicial decision on medical marijuana qualification for migraines to tell you about. We've got the fundraising numbers for two different medical marijuana initiatives in Arkansas to tell you about. And in Baltimore, they're looking for more cops, and they're beginning to think that if you smoke pot, maybe that wasn't such a big deal after all. We'll bring you all that coming up right after this first break. And then stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We've got some stories about a British Airways flight that smelled like pot. We've got an update on some industrial hemp states, some new ones that have joined the rest of us. A look at saliva drug testing. They're trying to pilot this out in Michigan State in a few counties. We'll tell you why saliva drug testing is bullshit for marijuana. And we've got a letter from some U.S. senators calling for the DEA to restrict the production of these addictive opioids. All that's coming up in the next 2 hours of the Russ Belville Show live on CannabisRadio.com. And then stay tuned for Stoner Jesus coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, live here on CannabisRadio.com. We'll take a break, and then the Cannabis Radio News is next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, July 22nd, 2016. Rome, Italy. Italy may become the next country to legally regulate marijuana, with a legislative proposal expected to be debated in Italy's Chamber of Deputies on Monday, July 25th. The bill would decriminalize the possession of 15 grams of marijuana for recreational use at home and 5 grams for use outside of the home. Furthermore, it would allow the cultivation of up to 5 plants for personal use and authorize cannabis clubs for up to 50 members. In terms of distribution, the Italian government would grant licenses for the production and sale of marijuana inside national territory. The bill prohibits import and export of marijuana, public use of marijuana, and driving under the influence. Marijuana reform enjoys broad support among Italian citizens. According to a recent survey by Ipsos Public Affairs, 60% of Italian citizens agree that the country's parliament should consider policy alternatives to the current prohibition regime, and 83% think that the current laws prohibiting marijuana consumption are inefficient. Furthermore, over 70% of Italians believe that the country should seek to implement a model of marijuana regulation similar to that of Colorado's. Hugo, Colorado. Officials told residents of a small Colorado community not to drink or shower in tap water Thursday because one of the town's wells may have been contaminated with THC, marijuana's intoxicating chemical. No illnesses have been linked to the water in Hugo, a town of about 730 people, some 100 miles southeast of Denver, said Lincoln County Public Health Director Susan Kelly. THC was detected in tests conducted with field kits. Although other field tests were negative, Sheriff's Captain Michael Yowell said, "Investigators found signs that one of Hugo's wells had been tampered with, but they hadn't determined whether someone deliberately tainted the water," Yowell said. The FBI and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation are helping with the case, he said. Peter Perrone, owner of a marijuana testing facility in the Denver area, expressed doubt that THC could be in the water. "The chemical isn't water-soluble." Chicago, Illinois. Cook County Circuit Court Associate Judge Rita Novak has ordered the Illinois State Department of Health to reconsider adding migraine headaches to the list of conditions that qualify for medical marijuana use. In a lawsuit against the state, an anonymous man who uses marijuana to combat severe migraines that he suffers 3 times a week for hours a day, sued to make his medicine legal. He has tried every prescription drug and narcotic recommended for migraine to no avail. Other lawsuits pending ask the state to add irritable bowel syndrome, chronic postoperative pain, osteoarthritis, intractable pain, autism, and polycystic kidney disease to the state's condition list. Little Rock, Arkansas. A family trust associated with the liquor industry has donated almost half of the $339,000 raised last month for a medical marijuana ballot measure in Arkansas. The Bevens Family Trust, which owns the Lake Liquor Store in Maumelle, kicked in more than $164,000 to the initiative campaign for the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Amendment, which has yet to make the ballot. The competing initiative, which has made the ballot, the Arkansas Medical Cannabis Act, raised another $142,000 last month. The medical initiative on the ballot allows patients who live farther than 20 miles from a dispensary to grow their own cannabis at home. The medical marijuana amendment, still aiming for the ballot, allows no patients to cultivate cannabis at home. Both initiatives would protect out-of-state patients in Arkansas. Baltimore, Maryland. Saying it is, quote, fundamentally inconsistent with where we are as a society, end quote, the police commissioner in Baltimore wants to relax the policies that bar prior marijuana users from becoming police officers. Current rules state that any applicant who has used marijuana more than 20 times ever, or more than 5 times since adulthood, is ineligible to become a cop. The policy was established in the heyday of the war on drugs in the 1970s. Maryland has since decriminalized marijuana possession. Quote, I don't want to hire altar boys to be police officers necessarily, Police Commissioner Kevin Davis said. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, July 22nd, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Well, today in the Cannabis Focus, I want to reminisce about the Republican National Convention that took place in Cleveland over these last 4 days. Donald Trump appeared yesterday and delivered his acceptance speech for the nomination for president. And during that speech, he talked about how he was going to build a great border wall to keep out the illegal immigrants and the drugs that are flooding over our borders. And I just wanted to talk about the second part about that, the wall that's going to keep the drugs out. First of all, I don't know if Donald watches the news much, but has he seen the tunnels? Has he seen the tunnels that El Chapo and the Mexican cartels have built underneath the American border?
You build a wall, you just make people want to build tunnels. So number one, that's a flawed idea. The number two problem with this idea is that not all drugs have to come across the border. We're plenty capable of growing our own cannabis here in America, manufacturing our own methamphetamine, harvesting our own mushrooms, cooking up our own MDMA and LSD. So, yeah, cocaine's a little harder to come by if you can't get it from a southern source. Opium's a little harder to come by. But there's a whole bunch of drugs that a wall is not going to stop. And furthermore, even if you were successful in building that wall on the southern border, what's to stop the drug smugglers from then bringing it in from Canada, using a boat to get around it, all sorts of ways that you could get around that situation. And the final fatal flaw with this idea of a border wall that's going to stop drugs from coming into this country is that we've already tried this on a small scale. They're called supermax prisons. We have these supermax prisons with big, huge walls around them, with double walls, right? Like you have to get, if you go past one wall, there's a moat area, and then you got to go past another wall. There's fencing and razor wire and lasers and dogs and snipers, guards watching 24 hours a day, these supermax federal penitentiaries all throughout the country. And yet you can still get drugs in them. You can still get drugs in a federal supermax prison. So we can't even build a wall around like an acre or smaller to keep drugs out. What makes you think we're going to build a 2,000-mile wall on our southern border that's going to keep the drugs out? It is just so frustrating to have such a repellent candidate at the top of the Republican ticket and then have to look over to the other side at the Democratic candidate and find plenty of reasons not to like that candidate either. Just today, there was a release by WikiLeaks of almost 20,000 emails from the Democratic National Committee that showed the Democratic National Committee, as we Bernie Sanders supporters have said throughout the whole campaign, the DNC was sandbagging Bernie Sanders. They were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. One email shows one of the DNC chiefs calling on a look at Bernie Sanders as to whether or not he was a Jew or whether or not he's an atheist. Because if he's an atheist, that would be more politically damaging to him for the campaigns to use. Yeah, so it's pretty nasty. And it shows once again that, you know, this lesser of two evils is getting tougher and tougher to have to determine, to have to choose between. Now, I've made my position clear. I cannot vote for Hillary Clinton. I would never vote for Donald Trump, though. Can't vote for Hillary Clinton. And fortunately, I live in Oregon, where she's most likely to win the state. It's not going to be a battleground state, so my vote isn't really going to matter that much. I'm leaning at this point toward voting for Governor Gary Johnson just to get the Libertarians, or for that matter, any third party, some traction in our politics. At this point, if you say you're voting for Gary Johnson and you get picked up on a poll, well, if he gets up to 15% of the polls, he makes it to the debates. If he makes it to the debates, he becomes a more viable alternative for some people who don't want to vote for either of those two candidates. I think Gary Johnson would pull more votes from Trump than he would from Hillary. And I think that would be, in the long term, good for this democracy. It's a scary season, and as cannabis consumers, if you're just making the decision on who to vote for president based on their policies on cannabis, it's a Gary Johnson vote. He's the one who wants to legalize it. Trump, you can't pin down one way or another what he thinks about cannabis. Back in the 90s, he was saying the war on drugs is a failure. We need to legalize it, regulate it. Nowadays, he's come back around to the more prohibitionist position, saying kind of a states' rights thing, though. If Colorado and Oregon want to legalize, he's fine with that, but doesn't support it on a national level. That's about where Hillary is on this issue. States should be the laboratories of democracy, and they should be allowed to proceed with their marijuana policies. So on the marijuana issue, we've got the two main candidates, the two big party candidates, basically in about the same place as states' rights. And then we got the Libertarian candidate supporting full-on legalization and regulation of cannabis. But there are so many other issues by which we're going to have to judge these presidential candidates. And we'll focus on a lot of them here on this show. Sorry, folks. I don't know what's happening here with the sound. We've we're having a connection issue. There we go. Hello, welcome back, everybody. We're having an internet connection issue and something going on with our sound system. So I'm going to try to bring that back for you. We'll be back on the air as soon as possible.
Jacana Management Corporation, and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon. You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so concrete.
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belleville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we want to take a look at some fantastic news. This has been reported by, I'm picking it off of Vice News, but it's a poll from the research firm YouGov, and it's the first ever to show that Republicans support marijuana legalization. Now, it's a plurality support, so not a majority at this point, but more Republicans are for legalization than are against legalization. It's 45% in favor versus 42% against. That's amazing, folks. Like I said, in 40 plus years of polling, this is the first one ever to show that Republicans are in support. Now, this has increased over time. It was bound to happen someday. But this fast, it's quite amazing. In January of just 2014, only 28% of Republicans supported legalizing marijuana. Just this last December, it was 36% in favor, 50% opposed. So in the span of a couple of years, this shift has happened, has moved from 28% to 45% in favor. And I've got to believe a lot of that has to do with the lack of severe consequences that have occurred since the legalization of marijuana in now four states and Washington, D.C. This is, you know, mirroring the trend among national voters, where we're now up to 55% support in some polls. And the last 10 national polls to have asked about marijuana legalization, 10 in a row, have shown 50% or greater support for marijuana legalization. This is becoming an increasingly mainstream idea. When asked about the government's efforts to enforce marijuana and whether or not they cost more than they are worth, 54% of the Republicans surveyed agreed that the efforts to enforce marijuana laws cost more than they are worth. And when we look among the other party identifications, Democrats, 63% in favor, 25% opposed. Independents, 55% in favor, 33% opposed. And again, the plurality among Republicans, 45 to 42. When asked about whether or not marijuana is a gateway drug, and this is among just the Republicans, back in December, 44% thought that marijuana was a gateway drug, 37% said it wasn't. That's dropped slightly, 43% now, 1% drop, 43%, I should say 1 point drop, 43% think it's a gateway drug, 40% do not think it is a gateway drug. And looking among the gender gaps on marijuana legalization in this poll, the gender gap is closing. 58% of men thought the use of marijuana should be legalized. 53% of women thought it should be legalized. And the people against legalizing marijuana, it's 34% opposition among men, 32% opposition among women, so less opposition. The difference being that more women are unsure. There was a 15% of the women surveyed were unsure whether or not marijuana should be legalized. But this 58 to 53 difference between men and women is one of the narrowest gaps I've found in some of the polling that usually ranges between 8 and 15 points difference, with women under a majority. Now we find women in the majority at 53%. Among the age groups, people 65 and older still do not support marijuana legalization. It's 47 against 40% for, but 13% undecided, which is a pretty decent number of undecided among the older people. When we look among the racial categories, there's no racial category that doesn't support marijuana legalization, but blacks come in at the lowest level of support, just a plurality, 44% support, compared to whites at 56% and Hispanics at 64% support. Surprising me there that we'd have a greater support there. And, of course, the region still most difficult to legalize in is the Midwest. But even in the Midwest, there's majority support for marijuana legalization in this poll at 46%. Highest support in the West at 65%, not surprising since we've legalized. But also a surprise in this poll, the South comes in at 53%. And to have majority support for legalization in the South is pretty amazing. Looking at whether people think marijuana is a gateway drug, 52% disagree. Majorities disagree that marijuana is a gateway drug. And when we look among the party breakdowns on that, of course, Democrats and independents, 57%, much greater understanding that there's no such thing as gateway drug. And on the question as to whether or not the government should enforce marijuana laws, federal laws in the states that have legalized, 57% said the feds should keep hands off. And the breakdown on that comes 61% Democrat, 48% Republican. Kind of surprising that not more Republicans than Democrats would be against federal interference in an issue for the states. 48% of the people, or 46% of the people, say they have tried marijuana, including 40% of Republicans who say they have tried marijuana. We'll We'll take a look at more of these polling issues as they come up here in our drug war data mining. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, we've got a stupid prohibition story that reminds you, only break one law at a time, people.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition story.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. This just in from Westlake, Ohio. Police say they found a number of counterfeit credit cards when checking in on four travelers who stopped at a Westlake Hotel parking lot this week to smoke pot. On Monday afternoon, at a hotel on Sperry Drive, officers checking on the security of delegates in for the Republican National Convention found the quartet in a rented 2016 GMC Acadia. When they asked them to get out, they said Carissa Murray of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, stumbled and dropped the cards. Police found a label maker, coding devices, laptops, and other items useful for cloning credit cards in the vehicle. Police said they were on their way to visit one of the passengers' relatives. Murray, along with Darren Neal of Sioux Falls and Richard Carter and Angela Hogue of Chicago, have been charged with felony theft. Their cases have been bound over to a grand jury where additional charges may be preferred. All four were jailed in the Cuyahoga County Jail on Thursday. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition story.
Okay. Thanks, Freddie. So, you're running a counterfeit credit card ring. You're cloning credit cards. You got the cloned credit cards and the machines to make them on your person. You got them in the car. and you're carrying weed, and you want to go smoke it in a public parking lot during the Republican National Convention where they've got ultra-heightened security. This is one of those cases where I'm glad they got busted. Nobody should go to jail for marijuana. But these people were thieves, fraudsters, cheating people. And this kind of highlights one of the issues that I think cops have with losing marijuana as a probable cause with marijuana legalization. Because a lot of times when these cops are able to go after someone out for marijuana, they find that, hey, look what other crime was going on here in the background. And so that's where I think a lot of cop opposition comes from, is like, from their point of view, the Constitution is something that makes their jobs harder. They gotta observe people's civil rights and stuff. And marijuana is the key that unlocks the Fourth Amendment for them. Allows them to get right in there and start investigating. When they've got a hunch that someone's up to no good, they can say, I smell weed. They can plant a bag on them. They can have a dog do a false alert, whatever it might be. And then they can go ahead and start prosecuting that crime. So that's why I think a lot of them oppose ending the prohibition on marijuana, is they just feel like they've got so few tools in their toolkit as it is. They got to follow so many rules to try to get a perfect bust that'll hold up in court, that if we take the marijuana away from them, then they feel that there's going to be a whole lot of bad guys getting away with it. There's going to be more chaos on the streets. And I think for some of them, it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis. Like, yeah, people shouldn't go to jail for weed, and yeah, it's kind of violating their civil liberties, but that's the cost of keeping order in a chaotic, violent, crime-ridden, gun-filled society. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't agree with this point of view at all. Tough shit, you have to obey the Constitution and you know, take care of people's civil liberties and protect and serve them. Tough shit that we're going to legalize marijuana, it's going to make your job a little harder. Sorry. Our lives as cannabis consumers should not be the collateral damage in law enforcement and justice in this country. And as we've seen, as we legalize marijuana, it actually takes away a lot of that problem, a lot of that crime prohibition problem that we have around marijuana. It takes less of their, it's a less cogent argument of theirs to keep saying that we need to be prohibited, we need to be locked up, when you can see the businesses that are formed, the tax revenue that is raised, the economies that increase, the property values that go up. We've seen that in Colorado. We've seen that in Washington State. We're seeing it here in Oregon, where, my God, the rents are going up so fast around this area. And that's why I think those, in that previous story, that's why the Republicans are starting to come around to this. They see, oh, wait a minute, money. Yeah, we like money. That's what I think is happening there. So remember Steinhorn's rule, everyone. Only break one law at a time. If you're going to make the decision to be a criminal counterfeiter, maybe you ought to just lay off the weed for a while. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a quick update on our story about marijuana in the NFL. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, made an interesting announcement today that may impact the issue of marijuana in the NFL. We'll get you that update when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
To sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points.
PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's Activist Agenda.
Today in the Activist Agenda, I want to talk about the NFL and its marijuana policies, particularly as it refers to medical cannabis use by the players. As we know, the use of cannabis to treat and prevent the damage from concussions is becoming more and more known by players and the people that follow the NFL. The movie Concussion that featured Will Smith playing Dr. Bennett Omalu, the man who discovered chronic traumatic encephalopathy in the brains of deceased players, has been a big topic. They had a concussion lawsuit that the NFL settled, and there continues to be more lawsuits, including a lawsuit over painkiller abuse in the NFL. And Eugene Monroe, the player that just retired, who's been calling for medical cannabis study in the NFL, and the other players who've been calling for this, have always met opposition from the commissioner of the league, Roger Goodell, who has just played the there's no medical use card. Goodell, for the longest time, has said, you know, our medical personnel have looked at this, and at this time, they don't find that there's compelling evidence, blah, blah, blah. We need more research, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And, of course, the players are feeling that the NFL shouldn't follow the science on this. The NFL should be leading the science on this. If they really care about their players and there's any sort of promise that medical cannabis use could protect them, the NFL should be pushing on that front with the power it's got as a marketing organization. I mean, look at what they do every October, putting pink on the uniforms to support breast cancer. If they can do that, they can put the money in the marketing forward to look at cannabis as a neuroprotectant for these athletes and their head trauma. But as it gets pointed out, the NFL consists of 32 teams whose owners tend to be older billionaires. And they're way behind on the understanding of medical cannabis, the support for reform, and so forth. That's part of the problem. Well, today we have an update. And the update comes from Commissioner Roger Goodell, who announced that the chief's, the league's chief medical officer, Dr. Elliot Pellman, is retiring. And that they're going to get a new chief medical officer to ensure that the clubs have access to the most up-to-date information and that research funds are spent in an effective and targeted way. Now, that's good news in that perhaps this new guy coming in, whoever it ends up being, will be someone who's a little better informed on this, a little more open to the idea of studying cannabinoids for neuroprotectant properties, for pain-killing properties. It's in the NFL's best interest with the fact they've got these, the concussion issue and the painkiller issue that are pressing on them, and they could be a little more proactive here. It's amazing when you note that the NFL spent $100 million on concussion research, $100 million, and nothing on cannabidiol, on cannabinoids, on medical marijuana, nothing. $100 million couldn't even touch the issue. There are studies that show that the people who use cannabis have better recovery from concussion. There's a UCLA study that showed that young adults that suffered a traumatic brain injury, there was 450 of them that they studied. The patients that had been regular cannabis users were 80% more likely to survive a traumatic brain injury. 80% better survival chance? And we don't want to give that to our players? Of course, this is all about the NFL's image. It's all about the NFL being perceived as pro-drug or pro-crime or whatever it might be construed at. But the speed at which this issue is changing, the only thing I can even compare it to is the change in acceptance of gay marriage. Just 10 years ago, 2006, gay marriage was a wedge issue that destroyed political careers. It was a poison pill that you put on a state ballot in order to destroy Democratic support. It was a major tactic of the Bush strategy, the 2006 and the 2006 congressional strategy. And now just 10 years later, the opinion is completely flipped on the issue. We are in the middle of that flip on marijuana, with now a Republican plurality in support. The NFL is always interested in the bottom line, always interested in the money. And the faster people come around to understanding medical marijuana, the less they're going to be supporting the NFL, allowing its players to beat their heads up without taking a look at the medical marijuana in their own state. Again, 20 out of 32 teams already play where medical marijuana is legal. If Florida passes medical marijuana and Missouri passes medical marijuana this 2016, that'll be 24 out of the 32 teams. Three quarters of the teams will play in medical marijuana states. There's no way they can keep this off the radar any longer.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
At a recent event, I had the chance to interview Rob Campia, the head of the Marijuana Policy Project. I asked him about the four states, Arizona, Nevada, Maine, and Massachusetts, in which MPP has successfully promoted marijuana legalization for the ballot, and generally about the direction of legalization. My question to Campia was this. In the progression of states that passed medical marijuana, we started with California, and that lets just about anybody use medical marijuana, to the western states that have condition lists but still let people grow marijuana, to later states that then took away the home grow rights, to now a few states that won't even let patients have actual marijuana. Are we going to see the same progression for marijuana legalization, where each successive wave of states becomes more restrictive than the previous states? Well, Campia didn't seem too pleased by the question. And he responded that it was important to remember that the first states to pass medical marijuana did so through initiative, while the later states had to pass through state legislatures. The implication, of course, is that sacrifices have to be made for political reasons in a legislature. You got to find a way to convince a majority of those politicians who are less understanding and supportive of marijuana reform. You got to get a majority of them to support it. And then conversely, the people voting on a citizen initiative are going to support greater liberties. They're going to understand the marijuana issue better than the legislature will. Well, that doesn't explain why MPP felt the need to add a no home grow zone around medical dispensaries in Arizona. That was a 2010 citizens initiative. And similar zones around the pot shops in Nevada's 2016 citizen initiative. But, you know, I let it slide because really Campia just indirectly answered the question I asked in the affirmative. Yes, as the medical marijuana states got more and more restrictive because they were coming from citizens' initiatives and then moving to state legislatures, so shall be the progression for the legalized marijuana states. After this election, when it is likely California will legalize, and we'll get at least two other states that will, I can see other states reacting by trying to forestall the inevitable legalization through minor reforms. Think about California in 2010. We had Prop 19. It was poised to legalize marijuana. So to undercut its support, then Governor Schwarzenegger signed a decriminalization measure. So with the threat of arrest gone for minor possession, one of the talking points for legalization was suddenly off the table, and Prop 19 lost. I'm thinking if Massachusetts, which has shown a poll of 51% opposed to the measure, if Massachusetts goes down in 2016, I wouldn't be surprised to see the state legislature take up the issue in the intervening years and pass some sort of restricted marijuana legalization. They've already got decrim. I can see them pass some sort of restrictive marijuana legalization where there's no home grow, where it's tightly controlled state grows with people having to register on a registry to be able to shop at the state-run stores. I mean, I can see that happening, where legislators start to understand that if they don't pass legalization, the next time around they're going to do it. In 2020, Massachusetts will pull it off. I could see that happening. So the other initiative states, if they've got the initiative process, that is, I can see their legislatures moving forward with decrim if they don't have it already. I can see them moving forward with very restrictive no home grow type of legalizations. Another example of this would be the state of Ohio. Ohio had nothing, and then in 2015 tried to legalize recreational and medical at the same time, failed spectacularly. This year, activists came back with better amendments, medical marijuana amendments, rather than full legalization. And the Ohio legislature stopped that by passing their own highly restrictive, no plant or no smoking medical marijuana, no home grow medical marijuana. And now how much tougher is it going to be in Ohio to try to pass some sort of medical marijuana initiative when the state can say, hey, we already have medical marijuana? How much farther does that put marijuana legalization off in Ohio? So we've already seen the pattern. We've seen this happen three times now, where when faced with the possibility that next time we might win, a legislature crafts something kind of crappy in order to forestall that. And those states that have legislative bodies, you know, and they don't have to worry about the initiatives, they're going to get lobbying for more commercial legalization alternatives. The stuff that the Rand Corporation came up with, the stuff that Project Sam is promoting. Think of Washington State-style legalization with no home grow, or Washington D.C.-style legalization with no pot shops. Other options that might be on the table would be state-run grows and stores. Like, imagine your state-run liquor store if the state made the liquor. There could be non-commercial collectives like what we see in Spain. There could be decriminalized possession with retail and criminal production like what we have in Holland. You know, the coffee houses in the Netherlands where the retail side's legal, but the production side's still in the black market. We might see Mark Kleiman's ideas of installing quota-based distribution systems with consumer-level registries and tracking. And the other factor that's affecting the progression of legalization nationwide is going to be the diminishing price and allure of legalized marijuana. Part of what attracts support for legalization is the money angle. For the initiative states, you know, we dream of forming successful pot businesses and or our current business is benefiting from the economic boost. And in those, even in the non-initiative states, the promise of increasing tax revenues without, you know, really losing any votes. But the allure of legalization fades as it becomes more commonplace. In 2013, if you're an American pot smoker looking to enjoy some marijuana legalization, you booked a flight to Denver or Seattle. In 2015, you might add Portland and Anchorage to your list of destinations. But by 2017, if you're east of the Mississippi, you might be heading to Boston or Portland, Maine for your weed experience. If you're in the freezing Midwest in the winter, Phoenix or Las Vegas is more attractive than cold, rainy Seattle or Portland, or snowy Denver for that matter. I mean, think of casino gambling, right? Used to be you could only go to Nevada or Atlantic City, New Jersey. Then your local Indian reservation or your riverboat got a casino. Las Vegas, at least, had the entertainment and the attractions to survive the spread of casinos nationwide, but have you seen Atlantic City lately? The more states that add legalization, the less weed tourism there will be. And then the monetary side, the returns. Most of the states legalizing marijuana add a price-based tax, from Massachusetts' proposed 3.75% to Washington State's current 37%. We sell this idea of legalization to the legislatures and to the people by promising how much tax money that's going to raise for schools or law enforcement or whatever. And that works pretty well when the state's taking X percent cut off a $300 ounce. But is that tax argument going to work so well when the increased volume and production in more and more legal states ends up dropping the price down to $30 an ounce? If we tax by price, as the price falls, the revenues fall. And the only way to increase revenue would be to increase consumption. And I don't really see the governments getting behind the smoke more weed, we need taxes campaign. So an alternative would be to tax marijuana by weight, such as California's additional proposed $9.75 per ounce tax on flower. But if you tax by weight, that tax becomes increasingly burdensome as the price of marijuana falls. A $9.75 tax on a $300 ounce works out to be a 3.25% tax. But when that ounce drops to $30, now the tax is almost a third of the price. And the greater the tax is as a proportion of the price, the more opportunity we create for the black market to undercut the tax. The more likely that is to happen, the less likely legislators are going to support legalization in the first place. So if we're going to continue the forward progress of legalization, we're going to have to shift away from these economic arguments that will become decreasingly effective as legalization spreads and prices drop. Instead, we should be focusing on the injustice of locking people up for a substance safer than alcohol, and the people's right to do with their bodies and minds whatever they choose, so long as they harm no others. Whether legalization raises money, breaks even, or costs money is irrelevant. All right, folks, that's all the time we've got for hour one. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back right after the top of the hour here with more on CannabisRadio.com. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio is next. And then after that, at 5 o'clock, you've got Stoner Jesus joining you from Stoner Heaven. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll save your stony soul. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.